The first Navajo woman surgeon in America stands at the intersection of two healing traditions, each powerful yet incomplete without the other. Growing up in Crown Point, New Mexico, I lived between cultures. Navajo traditions warning against whistling at night or sleeping with your head pointing north, contrasted with the American world of television where Indians were portrayed as exotic others. On the playground, I stood between Navajo girls speaking a language I barely understood and white children of government employees. This liminal existence prepared me for a life of bridging worlds, ultimately transforming how medicine is practiced across cultural divides. At Dartmouth College, I found myself missing everything about home: feast days, traditional foods, and the distinctive smell of wildness and desert. Though my less traditional family hadn't performed the Quinalda ceremony, the Navajo coming-of-age ritual for girls, our matriarchal culture had instilled strengths that many of my white female classmates lacked. My cultural humility, interpreted as disinterest when I didn't raise my hand in class, reflected deeper Navajo values that would eventually inform my approach to medicine. Since childhood, I'd seen the human body as earth in miniature, blood vessels like rivers, breathing like atmosphere, bones like bedrock. This perspective drew me toward medicine, though the idea of becoming a doctor seemed impossible for a Navajo woman. When Dr. Gary Rosenberg suggested medical school during my research assistant job, I couldn't recall ever hearing of a Navajo woman physician. At Stanford Medical School, my greatest challenge came with cadaver dissection. Navajos strictly avoid touching the dead, believing they hold chindis, evil spirits. When someone dies, the good part leaves with the spirit, while the evil remains with the body. Standing before that formaldehyde-preserved body, I faced a direct violation of my cultural beliefs. I justified my actions by framing medical knowledge as similar to a medicine man's, a tremendous gift I could bring home to help thousands. What would my ancestors think of me cutting into human bodies? Would they see it as necessary learning or dangerous transgression? This tension between traditional prohibitions and modern medical necessities embodied my daily reality, walking between worlds while trying to honor both. In many cultures, song is medicine. When someone falls ill in Navajo tradition, a singer performs ceremonies called chantways, beauty way, night chant, mountain way, each addressing different ailments. I witnessed this power when a medicine man sang for my cancer patient Charlie Nez, who had undergone surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. As the ceremony unfolded, hope returned to Charlie's eyes, that essential will to live that all physicians recognize as crucial for healing. After medical school, I returned to serve my tribe at Gallup Indian Medical Center, despite better opportunities elsewhere. There, a pivotal moment in my understanding came during a difficult gallbladder operation on Evelyn Bitsui. The procedure was challenging: inflamed tissue, bleeding issues, and a struggling nurse trainee. My fatigue turned to anger as I shouted at the nurse. Though we completed the surgery, Evelyn suffered an unexplained stroke the next day. Despite extensive testing, we found no medical explanation, but instinctively, my Navajo side understood. The disharmony in the operating room, my anger, the nurse's defensiveness, the patient's fear, had created perfect conditions for complications. Even under anesthesia, patients sense the energy around them. Haven't you felt tension in a room without anyone speaking? Our bodies perceive what our conscious minds might miss. In Navajo, cancer is described as atzdis natsid, a sore that does not heal, or natsi, something that rots. My patient Carolyn Yazi experienced cultural isolation after her diagnosis. Her family avoided her food and touch, fearing contagion. Many Navajos believe cancer stems from evil actions or can be transmitted like other white man's illnesses. While recommending surgery, I suggested she could also consult a medicine man, acknowledging traditional healing ceremonies as spiritual preparation. Though Carolyn didn't return, I later attended a Yibeche ceremony, the final night of a 9-day night chant. Among enormous pinyon fires, I watched Talking God and other Yi dancers approach the patient as she sprinkled them with corn pollen. The hypnotic chants, wood smoke, rattles, and drums created a healing environment absent in Western medicine. For Navajos, wholeness and holiness are identical. Everything interconnects. Many oppose surgery, na'agish, or to cut open, as it disrupts harmony. Yet accommodating pre-surgery ceremonies resulted in calmer patients with lower heart rates and blood pressure. What if modern medicine recognized healing involves more than physical intervention? What if we acknowledged ceremony's power in preparing body and spirit? During my high-risk pregnancy, I made a decision that might have seemed foolish to my Western medical colleagues. Despite strict bed rest orders, I drove hours to see Thomas Hatafli, a Navajo medicine man. Something deep within told me this journey was necessary for both me and my unborn son. Thomas wasn't the weathered elder I'd expected, but a young, athletic man who balanced his role as an IHS mental health counselor with his traditional calling as a healer. In his modern trailer home, he transformed into a medicine man by tying a blue sash around his head. During the ceremony, he sang prayers in Navajo, guiding me to pull his medicine bundle toward my heart while chanting, "It is beautiful all around me." This experience embodied my approach to medicine, recognizing that healing comes through multiple channels. Western medicine excels at addressing acute physical problems, while traditional approaches often better address the spiritual and emotional dimensions of illness. The most effective healthcare integrates both. When I later joined Dartmouth Medical School as Associate Dean, I shared my evolving philosophy about combining Navajo healing concepts with Western medicine, explaining Hojo Nahastli, walking in beauty, as living in harmony with oneself, community, and environment. I contrasted Western medicine's compartmentalized approach with the Navajo healer's holistic view that examines a person's entire life context. The perfect hospital would blend physical beauty, adobe walls, natural smells, light-filled spaces, round windows, gardens, with state-of-the-art equipment and ceremonial spaces. Staff would speak patients' languages, and everyone would prioritize healing. Illness would be viewed holistically as an imbalance in any aspect of a patient's world: body, mind, spirit, relationships, community, or environment. This vision offers healing wisdom for all healthcare, not just Native communities. In our technological advancement, we've often lost the essential human connection that makes true healing possible. When asked if Navajo concepts had relevance for non-Indian peoples, I confidently answered, "Absolutely." Modern healthcare challenges, burnout, depersonalization, fragmentation, might find solutions in indigenous wisdom. Walking in beauty means recognizing that healing requires harmony within ourselves, between people, and with nature. It means seeing patients as whole beings whose stories, beliefs, and relationships affect their health as much as physical conditions. Perhaps the path forward lies in looking back to healing traditions that have sustained communities for millennia, bringing together the precision of modern science and ancient healing wisdom into a medicine that honors both body mechanics and spiritual needs.